Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Quick disclosure, this podcast is for informational purposes only. Nothing I say constitutes direct investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell any securities. It represents my personal views at the time of the recording, and markets may perform differently than I expect. All investment involves risk, including loss of principal. With that said, let's get into it. The new Fed chair, Kevin Warsh, who was supposed to be a hard money guy, printed $14 billion worth of new reserves and credit for banks 2 weeks ago. He then followed up with an additional $11 billion increase last week. That makes over $30 billion of new money created since he has taken the helm as Fed chair. For those keeping score, that is an increase of $200 billion worth of new money created for banks to play with just since the end of last year, since Powell left and war started going back till the December of 2025. It's official, my opinion, the U.S. is officially a banana republic, and the joke is on the middle class. The question is, incredibly, is that level of new base money supply creation enough to keep this massive bubble from imploding or expanding? Well, there has been a significant change in the inflation, deflation, and economic cycles model output over the past few weeks. My clients know I've been making many trades lately. We have moved from sector three, which is a healthy reflation and growth, to disinflation and slowing growth. While nearly everyone on Wall Street and at the Fed is now convinced, absolutely convinced, inflation is a problem, finally, and rates must rise, we believe the Fed will not be hiking because the inflation data over the next few months will be very much quiescent. It goes like this. Back in February of this year, everyone was convinced that the Fed was going to cut rates two times, later this year in 2026. After all, CPI was 2.4% and Trump's new dove was flying into the coop come June, going to slash interest rates. And everybody was on board the gold and silver trade and the lower interest rates trade. However, the outbreak of the U.S.-Iran war at the end of February caused oil and commodities to surge. Inflation jumped to 4.2% by May, and precious metals crashed by a lot from their February high. But now, oil prices have crashed from $120 per barrel to the low $70 range. And the broader commodity index is down by 23%. Most importantly, the five-year forward inflation expectations have been in free fall since mid-May. These are all components of my model. Therefore, while everyone is gazing at headline rearview mirror inflation data, we're going to skate, like Gretzky says, to the puck where the puck is going, and that is for disinflation. Meaning the rate of change on CPI should drop from the current 4.2% back down towards 3% in the next couple of months. Everyone is now frightened about a hawkish Fed, but is that really the case? Warsh's first Federal Open Market Committee meeting produced no rate hike, while inflation is more than double its own target level. Target is 2, inflation is 4.2. But nobody hiked. In fact, not one member of the FOMC voted to dissent from holding rates steady. Of course, half of them said rates might go up later this year, but why didn't anybody vote to hike rates now at the peak of inflation? Inflation's been above the Fed's target for 5 years. It's more than 100% above target. Where's the hike? Since that is the case, then how can we believe they will suddenly start hiking when the inflation data will be cooling, perhaps very substantially? Therefore, we are taking advantage of this situation by buying gold miners for the first time in a very long time. Of course, miners prosper when gold is rising, and that's not happening now, but that should begin to happen very shortly. But they're also very cheap, and their earnings go up when the cost of mining, think about lower energy prices, goes down. Gold is down, miners are down 36%, and gold is down 25% from the February high. Silver is down a whopping 52%. And I'm not buying silver because it has a very high volatility profile, much higher than gold. And in an environment of slowing growth and inflation, that's not a conducive environment for silver. I actually lost a couple of clients at the start of this year because they wanted a portfolio that was 100% precious metals. But as I stated, we expect that not only will the CPI be falling, but GDP growth should be slipping as well. The reason being that Trump's huge tax refund checks have been issued and already been spent. But most importantly, the massive borrowing and spending of hundreds of billions of dollars on AI infrastructure is now starting to be questioned by those very people who spend the money and by investors. And investors have begun to balk at the unlimited borrowing for data centers and computer power at any price without first being justified by the manifestation of productivity. For one small example, SpaceX issued $25 billion for building out its artificial intelligence startup XAI, which is a big part of the company's valuation and growth prospects. The company had to pay a premium on the yield it offered to investors, and the stock dropped by 16%. And the reason, as I stated, can't be very any clearer. Investors are starting to wonder about all this money that's being thrown at AI. Will it justify the productivity and the earnings growth? They're just starting to question it. Yes, it's a productivity boom, but how much? How much is enough? AI investment has been the main driver of earnings and GDP growth, without question. Without that, there's no earnings growth and there's no GDP growth. Once it begins to wane, expect growth in both areas to slow sharply. Penta Portfolio Strategies has been positioning the portfolio for Sector 2, disinflation and slowing growth, over the last few weeks. That means gold miners, gold, not silver, again, reiterating, not silver, dividend-paying stocks, and low volatility holdings. We are not yet in Sector 1, which are the conditions of deflation and recession/depression. Not there yet. Could be headed there. I mean, perhaps that is precisely due to the Fed's continued loathful practice of expanding its balance sheet, even when the inflation and growth are projected to rise. I mean, why is Mr. Warsh printing so much money when everybody thinks everything's great and everybody thinks inflation is a problem? But we remain ever vigilant for those eventual economic conditions, recession, depression, and deflation to occur, because that is when the real carnage in markets happen. Not the 5, 10% drawdown that happens in markets all the time. I'm talking about 50 to 80% drawdowns. That's where we want to protect and profit from. For now, we are taking the opportunity to get on the right side of this inflation shift while nearly everyone else is crammed on the wrong side of the boat, because that is where most of the money can be made.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.